According to reports, many of the 42 commercial fishing licenses suspended in Maine last year involved people who broke fishing laws to buy opioids, some stealing lobsters from other people's traps. A Maine lobsterman was using OxyContin when he sailed into a storm in 2014. He was charged with maritime manslaughter after two sternmen died. And fishermen are overdosing at sea. Well, now the nonprofit Fishing Partnership in Massachusetts is giving some fishermen the overdose drug naloxone, Narcan, and training others how to use it. Steve Holler is a lobsterman who backs the program. He runs the November Gale out of Boston Harbor. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Keep you on land for a few minutes here. Also, Deb Kelsey, who works in support services at the Fishing Partnership. They're based in New Bedford, Massachusetts. She joins us in the studio as well. Hi, Deb.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
And Steve, I want to start with you because I know that you are seeing this issue among fellow lobstermen, but also in family.
Yeah, exactly.
Stepson?
Yes, I lost a stepson in 2013. He had succumbed to overdoses, I believe, 6 or 7 times, and Narcan did revive him during those episodes. Sadly, we did lose him in 2013.
So you're well aware.
Yes.
By the way, so sorry for the loss of your stepson. Deb, how common is it to lose someone at sea?
It's as common as losing someone at land.
Yeah.
The difference at sea is that the first responders, which would be the Coast Guard, aren't allowed to carry Narcan. So if there's an overdose at sea, that's a death. That's a fatal overdose.
It's done. There's no bringing someone back.
No chance.
Because there's no ambulance that can get out there.
That's right. You can't get out to the sea in an ambulance.
So talk about, I mean, how bad is the heroin epidemic within the fishing community? Is it worse than elsewhere?
So I would have to say no. It's throughout the community. In New Bedford, for example, there's overdoses every day, all day long. It's rampant in our community, in our cities, which includes the industry. Again, the importance on the waterfront is that if an overdose were to occur at sea, first responders don't have Narcan.
Well, we know that there are deaths in Gloucester, Massachusetts. The setting for the film The Perfect Storm, Manchester by the Sea, was actually filmed in Gloucester. So we see these images of fishermen. 6 fishermen have overdosed right at the docks in the last 3 years. There was a man from Maine on March 1st. In New Bedford, Deb, where you're based, heroin was discovered on 6 of 11 outbound boats that were just searched randomly. So it's there.
Oh, it's there. It's everywhere in our city and in our ports. Mm. Not only addicts overdose, and we're trying to bring that education out to our industry and community. We tell our fishermen when we're bringing them awareness, you know, it may not be somebody on your vessel. It could be the vessel tied up next to you. It could be the vessel fishing next to you, or it could be the little old lady next door who forgot she took her meds.
Well, Steve, I want to ask about that because it's not just addicts. Your industry in particular, well, are you on pain meds?
I am not now, no.
But you've been.
I have been. I have been for a very long time, degenerative disease, and I was on medication for up to 14 years.
Because this is a hard, hard job.
It is very hard. It's go, go, go. You only have so much time to make money, whether your permit's allowed to fish at a certain time or whether it be a weight quota or something like that. So it's they kind of used to call it derby fishing. You got to go and go when you can get the money. Fishermen are prescribed medications. It can be overprescribed. I can tell you I've been on Percocets for 14 years.
Well, you talk about once plowing through 120 Percocets in a month.
Yeah, that was my prescription. They were the smallest dosage of Percocets allowed, and it was for four Percocets a day, one in the morning, one late morning, one early afternoon, one late afternoon. And the perception is like when you give someone a painkiller that you are just totally numbing them up so they don't feel the pain. It's basically to maintain. You're not getting, like, I want to say high or eliminating all the pain. You're still going to feel the pain. It's to keep you going.
And let's remind people, you're a lobsterman. How many traps?
800.
How much do they weigh each?
Oh, I would have to guess in the area around 65 pounds each.
And you're hauling them in?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. I just had my arm rebuilt 3 years ago, tore all the tendons and ligaments out of it. The arm was just hanging there. And it was basically from every day. I've been doing this since the age of 14, 40
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And the doctor jokingly says every once in a while a car door is going to fall off. You keep using it that much.
Right. So we have these two things, Steve. We have, you know, some of the fishermen, let's say it, the fishing industry is getting a little older.
Yes.
And hurting.
Yep.
Then you have people like your stepson, mm-hmm. who was an addict in and around the fishing industry, might go out on occasion.
Yep.
So we have both things combined. By the way, do you know others? I mean,
oh my gosh, I've gone to so many funerals, so many of my son's friends. I mean, we lost an entire generation. I mean, there was my son, two doors down, another son, five doors down, another son. They all played on the same baseball team. My son was a pitcher. The other gentleman was a first baseman. The other one was a third baseman. But they're all gone now. And then they've pretty much all worked on my boat at one time. It's a sad. It was just a very, very sad thing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we're talking about how the fishing industry is aging. It's just anecdotal, but partly because your younger generation is dying from this opioid.
Yeah. It's not just a fishing community. The fishing community now is stepping forward. When we're out on the boat, the person might not be on our boat. He could be on another boat. He could be on a pleasure boat. But we're all on radio communication on different channels.
Mm-hmm.
If we hear something of someone, you know, that is in distress, whether it could be any reason at all, we've got pretty major first aid kits on the boat. Yeah. Through the Fishing Partnership, we are trained how to use them. Narcan, CPR, through the Fishing Partnership, we are all getting trained. You know, it's a sad world we live in where I have a 16-year-old daughter. She will be working with me this year on the boat. She is fully trained and vessel safety through Deb's organization, firefighting, CPR, how to use an AED, how to use Narcan. Both my daughters, 14 and 16, were trained in how to use Narcan. Because we used to joke around, you just about cut your finger off. What do? You wrap it up with electrical tape and you keep going. Well, you're going to lose that finger when you get in. So now it's like, okay, you know, let's get the proper first aid that we need on there and let's get you in to save that finger, save that thumb. I mean, we are the last cowboys, if that's what you want to call it, but we're getting a little smarter. You know, fingers and thumbs and hands and wrists are worth something, but a life is worth so much more. And to simply have Narcan in your kit, we as captains on the vessels, we are the first responders on the water.
And I was going to say, it could be a user or it could be someone just like you, Steve, who mixed up the pain medication.
That has happened to me.
That you have. Deb, this isn't just the Massachusetts area. I understand you just returned from New York's Montauk. Lucky you.
Yes.
One of the, you know, God's country there. But you're training fishermen there how to use Narcan.
It's safety training for commercial fishermen. And in our basic first aid CPR class, just like we talk about how to use an EpiPen or an inhaler, we talk about how to recognize the signs of an overdose, how to administer Narcan, and the next step is to call Mayday call.
Do you get resistance?
I can honestly tell you that in the beginning, it was a challenge. I did have a captain in New Bedford. We trained his vessel reluctantly. He agreed to the training, didn't think he needed it. We basically tag-teamed him to get him to agree.
You and Steve, yeah.
He said he didn't have, you know, there was no need for it on his vessel, but was going to take the training anyways. 3 months later, I was reaching out to him regarding another matter, and he answered the phone and told me he was on his way in from his trip. And he was like, Deb, I'm on my way in. He's like, I had to use that Narcan that you gave me. I can't believe it.
He's a big advocate now for this with Deb on the waterfront.
That was a true testament there. And that crew member is alive today because this captain was equipped with education and Narcan. And he said to me while he was administering the Narcan that he never once thought about this person being a junkie. All he wanted to do was revive him.
Good work.
Thank you.
That's Deb Kelsey. She works in support services at the Fishing Partnership. We're going to link you up at our website to their services. We've also been talking to Steve Holler, lifelong lobsterman, lost a stepson to an opioid overdose and is determined not to lose anyone else. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And by the way, both Steve and Deb are also recovery coaches who help after someone's been revived for more. And we'd love to hear from fishermen. Go to hearandnow.org.